You know, I get something in my head and I can't get it out unless I say it. You ever been like that? And I don't want to be distracted, but it's a course. And I don't know if everybody knows it, but I want to sing it. If you know it, sing it with me. It's, there is a river that flows from deep within. There is a fountain that cleanses the soul from sin. Come to the waters. There is a vast supply. Come to the river. That never shall run dry. I don't know if you know that or not. There is a river that flows from deep within. There's a fountain. There is a fountain that cleanses a soul from sin. Come to the waters. Come to the waters. There's a vast supply. There is a vast supply. There is a river. There is a river that never shall run dry. Well, I just had to sing that. Isn't it wonderful that we can drink of everlasting water and never thirst for anything else? Praise God. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you so much for this opportunity, for the possibilities that we may taste something eternal. I pray you'll help us. Pray you'll help me to have a clear mind and all of us to hear whatever it is the Spirit is saying. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, if you have your Bibles, turn with me to the book of, let's go to the book of Philippians, and I'll look in the second chapter, and then I'll just reference Mark 12, 30. I'm ask God to help me to be succinct, because we could go for a long time about this particular topic. And I don't want to make you dull of hearing. I want to talk about why change your mind from a biblical perspective. Philippians, the second chapter, and reading from the New King James, therefore, if there is any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind, of one mind. Let's say it together, of one mind. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, there it is again, let each esteem others better than himself. It's not about self-esteem, it's about esteeming others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Now, it doesn't say let this brain be in you. I'd love to have the brain of Christ, but it says the mind. And that's what we're going to talk about, what informs the brain. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ. So evidently we can have that. Who being in the form of God did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him, given him name, which is above every name, and we'll stop there. Let this mind be in you, which was in Christ. The mind of Christ. Well, it's given to us there. It's also given to us in the Sermon on the Mount. There's several places. Matthew 5, 6, and 7. I'd encourage everybody to read it because it tells us the mind of Christ. The Sermon on the Mount tells us how Jesus thought. And it's radical, folks. I'm not going to ask you for a show of hands, but would you like to have the mind of Christ? He says, for instance, love your enemies and do good to those that despitefully use you. Verse 41 of the fifth chapter, he says, and remember, the Romans were in control, and they could tell a Jewish male in front of his wife and kids, carry my burden a mile. I mean, even though that created a little hatred. And carrying your oppressor's burden as a servant or slave, actually, it wasn't a happy thing. But Jesus said, don't take it a mile, take it 2 miles. I don't know if you're putting yourself in that place or not, but it doesn't make any sense to the natural man. In fact, the spiritual mind makes no sense to the natural man. Why do you think we have so many problems? Conflict. Disagreement. We have natural minds, which are self-centered. We're taking self-esteem to a whole new level. And that's not what Jesus said. Now, it says, love God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. Love God with your mind. What does that mean? Now, I want to say this. This is not a religious talk. If you take it that way as a sermon, you're going to make a big mistake. This might well be biology. It might be philosophy, it might be ethics, but it's real. I listen to a number of people that I don't necessarily agree with 100%, but...
Charles, you're getting a ringing up there. Did
Emma?
You hear that, Daniel?
I thought it was in my ear.
I
thought it was in my ear. Anyway. That's all right. Now let's start over. That's all right. Anyway, Dr. Jordan Peterson is one of the guys I listen to. I don't agree with everything he says, but he quotes Carl Jung, who is a well-known psychologist, and he said, I have ADD, so pray for me. He said, people don't have ideas. Ideas have people. Let me put it another way. Whatever gets control of your mind has got control of you. And if you're distracted mentally, then you're distracted in your actions. The mind is the steering wheel of the brain. In other words, what informs you? What you listen to, the way you think, the way you react or respond. It has a physiological impact on your brain that can be scanned on some type of ultrasound scanner. They can actually see how you think. I'll tell you two stories. One, huh? Yeah, it's all right. I don't know what Paul did without these things, do you? Anyway. A long time ago, that's how most of my stories begin. we didn't have air conditioning. Anybody here ever live without air conditioning? And in Mobile, Alabama, it's high humidity, hot in the summer. And we had an attic fan, which sucks in everything from counties around. And right at the head of our bed, we had a window, and we left it open, and right by the window was a big bush for privacy. And so we slept with the window open and the attic fan doing the best it could to cool us off. And one morning about 5 o'clock, a blue jay lit in the bush right by my head. Now, you have blue jays, don't you? Nasty bird. Anyway, I gotta leave blue jays alone. They scream. And 5 o'clock in the morning, if you're there laying there on the pillow and something lights about 2 feet from your head and starts screaming, it's irritating. When I say irritating, I'm trying to express something really deep. Anyway, one more, and it would do this morning after morning. One morning, I got up and walked around the house and the corner, and I saw there was a cat at the bottom of the bush. And I thought to myself, you stupid bird, you better stay away from that cat. One morning, the bird didn't light in the bush, didn't scream. And when I got up and walked around the corner of the house, there were blue jay feathers all over the ground. Now, the blue jay didn't have an idea. An idea had the blue jay. That blue jay could have flown all over Mississippi and Alabama and Georgia, out over the Gulf of Mexico. It could have gone on a tour. It could have had a wonderful life. But it got a fixation on the cat. And the cat wasn't saying anything. The cat was thinking, blue jay tastes good, you know. And the idea got the blue jay. Before the cat ever got it, the idea got it. Now, Caroline Leaf, anybody here ever read her stuff, Caroline Leaf, Dr. Caroline Leaf? She's a neuroscientist, biblical Christian, and has some very, if you ever want to read, she has a book called Who Switched on My Brain? But she tells a story and it's not in one of those books, maybe it's on another book. But anyway, she tells a story about a young lady that had an accident and was in a coma. And the doctor said if she ever came out of the coma, she'd be like a vegetable. And her parents read scripture to her while she was in the coma, played Christian music for her while she was in the coma. And she came out in 2 weeks, and when she came out, they continued this process. To cut to the end of the story, this young woman became a genius, smarter than she was before she had the accident. Now, Dr. Leaf suggests that it's because she got a different input consistently that it affected her brain. Actually, brain scans will show a highway if your pattern of thought is the same all the time. And eventually you begin to build malls and housing projects around the highway. It becomes a fortification. It's not just a person is stubborn, it's they're fortified. And nobody can change their thinking but them. You know one of the hardest lessons to learn? You can't change people. You can give them the opportunity, but you can't change them. That's so sad. I know some people learned that on me. Now, the thing is, we need to appreciate. The scripture says, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. There's so much in the Bible. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Love God with all your mind. Have the mind of Christ. Let this mind be in you. Too often Christians have thought about spirit and soul, but not a lot about mind. That is, we don't realize the impact. We're like a carload of people driving down the road and everybody trying to get the wheel. Because everybody is trying to get the wheel. Grab your mind. And we really need to have a mindset that is safe, growing, developing the health. Now, I hope you believe this, but how you think affects your brain. How I think affects my brain. Say it with me. How I think affects my brain. And of course, how many of you know your brain affects your body? When you get scared, adrenaline starts going through. I mean, there's so many different kinds of hormones and chemicals that get released in our body by thought. And so, you know, whoever controls thoughts is controlling a lot. Now, the Bible is clear. I believe that we're to give our mind over to Christ. You know, I think we all want to influence people, but we don't control people. If we do, there's something wrong with the person being controlled as well as the person doing the controlling. What we do, how many of you understand that a lot of people don't have their mind developed, and so their minds are easy to control? They haven't ever done much thinking, haven't been taught how. They've been taught how to feel, but not how to think. And there is the difference. I love to study the founders of our country because they were mentally developed people. They were very well educated. Classical educations, Greek and Hebrew and Latin, and just, if you read the letters from Civil War soldiers who never went to college, they're fluent, more so than a typical composer today. Well, we need to develop our minds. And that doesn't mean just reading people that agree with everything you believe. It means having your mind stretched. It means listening to stuff sometimes you don't really want to listen to. But it affects you. It doesn't mean you need to buy it all. If you buy everything you read, then, well, I don't want to go there. You don't need to do that. But you do need your mind stretched. And the older you get, the more it's true. Not that I know anything about age, but, you know, the older you get, the less you like change. And it's easy to fall into habits of thinking. And you see somebody and you just automatically think something. Or you hear a name and you just think something. You hear about a town, you just think something. And, you know, you get ideas. No, ideas begin to get you. Now, Jesus came. How many of you understand that he challenged the minds of his culture? When he said, love your enemies, by law, they've been taught differently. Do good to those that despitefully use you. Huh. That's unnatural. You hit me, I'll hit you back. You know, law says an eye for an eye, but I say, love your enemies. Whoa. How many of you think we already learned this? You think we've already learned all this? Some of the worst fights in the world are church fights. I saw my first church fight when I was 5 years old. Never forget it. People hollering at each other in church. People got voted out. I'd have been glad if it was me. You know, the thing is, we don't have this down. We need to change our mind. That is, we need to focus our minds on the mind of Christ. Because the mind will affect the brain, and the brain will affect the body. Now, I'm not a Christian Scientist. I don't believe that I can just think my way anywhere I want to be, but I do believe it's important. See, what Jesus was offering the Jews was an escape from what was going to happen to them. See, because the way they thought, they were about to be slaughtered. Jesus was there, let's say, 30 AD, 28 AD. He was saying, and of course, by the way, the date, the calendar's not exactly right. We're 3 years off or so. But he's there, a generation that's under Roman rule, and some are rebelling because they hated the Romans. Romans were pagans, after all. You should hate pagans. And there were different ones leading rebellions, and Jesus was saying, no, no, no. If they want you to go 1 mile, go two. Change their thinking about you. But they thought that was ridiculous. They continued thinking eye for an eye. I know there's nobody here that thinks eye for an eye, but you know, there were people like that one time. And 70 years later, they were slaughtered. They were crucified till there weren't trees left to hang a Jew on. What he was offering, you see, how you think affects your brain, your actions, and your future. Our family. So many things. I have a friend I mentioned last night, Rex Miller. Rex has a company called MindShift. He's a consultant. And his whole thing is changing how people think about certain things. For instance, he has a book on education called, it's about the education machine. Humanizing the education. How many of you think education needs to be affected in our country? Anybody think that? I do. I think we've gotten away from some basics. We're number 26, I think, in the world in math or something. We spend more than any other country. Don't get me started. How many of you understand education is about affecting the mind, and the mind affects... Anyway... Rex writes books about how to affect people's minds in different areas based on studies and so forth and evidence. And one of his books is on office space, how office space affects the workforce. He used to build office furniture, and then he began to study architecture and realized that these little cubicles weren't necessarily a good thing, that the people were separated from one another, and the CEO in the corner office wasn't in touch with the guy on the street, so he began to advocate common spaces and collaboration. Well, that's the trend now with Amazon, Microsoft, and all these big companies. Collaboration. Isolation versus collaboration. Which is going to make you grow more, isolation or collaboration? Affecting the mind affects the body, affects the culture, affects success, affects church, everything else. So Jesus said, I want you to learn to think second mile and not just first mile. First mile is law. First mile is duty. Second mile is beyond duty. Are you with me? How many of you know that companies that go beyond duty succeed better than those who just do duty? I respond I respond better to those who go out of their way. I think you do too. How many of you think maybe the best way to win people is not just preaching to them, but by going out of our way? Jesus was kind to the sinner and the religious. In fact, he was more kind to the sinners. I don't want to go there. But, God help me. He told the religious, the Pharisees, he said, you go around the world to make one proselyte, and when you do, you make him twice a child of hell. Not that they were bad people, but they created the wrong attitude, which was detrimental. Love your enemies. Well, Jesus did real well at that. Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. One of my frustrations is preaching doesn't change people. You think you're going to make a lot of changes, and you don't. They just get to be connoisseurs of good sermons. It's hard to communicate. I know I grew up in church. My father was a preacher. I went to church whether I liked it or not. I try to get sick on Wednesday nights. Anyway, and it's easy to miscommunicate. I think about the lady who told her husband, why don't you do like the man next door? He gives his wife flowers, cards, chocolates. He said, why would I do that? I don't even know that woman. You know, sometimes people walk away having heard something different. Jesus came, among other things, to change our minds about God, about life, about what's truly great, about just about everything. One of the problems of legalism is it's inflexible, rigid. Religion is a discipline, that's a good thing. But when discipline becomes concretized and rigid, it makes you unable to see anything more. And we begin to deal with each other from rigid positions. Our country's deep in that. Well, the prophets warned the religious. Jesus warned the religious that their sacrifices was not what he was looking for, but rather that their heart be in their words. And the Apostle Paul said, and I'll deal with this and close out. The Apostle Paul said in Romans 12, be not conformed to this world. Let me paraphrase that. Don't think like everybody else. But be transformed by what? A renewed mind can actually change you. I don't think it's just talking about psychologically. I think people have been healed by thinking differently. I think people have healed other people by thinking differently. I think people have entered into a more full, joyful, and successful life, but they've been transformed. We all grow up in a culture. I don't know what your culture is. I know what mine was. And by the way, I'm thankful to God for those that helped me grow up and didn't kill me. My mother's people were German Cajuns. It's a bad cocktail. In the swamps of South Louisiana. If I named a place that was closest to them, you wouldn't know it. And they didn't live in that place either. They lived a mile or so in the swamp. First game warden that ever came into that community never came out. They're serious people. If you weren't from there, you probably need to be passing on through. Now, they weren't mean to each other. Well, they could have fusses. I had a cousin and an uncle live next door to each other for 25 years and never spoke. Now, those are my genes. But I don't want to live there. I'm thankful. I go back every once in a while. I get on a boat and go down the bayou and remember where I came from. But I don't want to live there. Once in a while, I've wanted to live there just to get away, but not really. What's happened? Well, we moved, and we lived in a country town, and then I went to school, and then, you know, I got saved, and then I got baptized in the Spirit, and everything affects your mind. Hey, I don't want that to stop. You say, well, I'll be 82 in April. I don't need to learn anything else. Well, I tell you what, I don't want to go around vacant. You know, something in us wants to live. And I have friends that have lost it. And I've buried some of my friends. But how many of you understand, as long as we're in this body, I believe Christ wants us to grow. And how are you going to do that? You have to change your thinking. Let this mind, I'm not talking about joining a different political group, but I'll tell you one thing, don't let the news dominate your brain. Because that's all geared to hype you up. It's all exciting. Everything is breaking. It's a wonder I didn't break the TV. You know, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Why change your mind? Because it can change everything else. I like habits because that keeps me doing things when I'm not thinking. But they're dangerous. Next thing you know, you're doing something you're not even thinking about. And you're in trouble. One of the guys I pastor, he's a pastor and I like him a lot. He's in West Virginia. He said, my grandma was sick, and she would lay in the bed and say, oh, me? And everybody come running to see what was the matter. Sometimes it was nothing. And one day she said, oh, me? And nobody came running. And she said out loud, I said, oh, me? She had a habit. They had a habit. They changed. She had to. I don't know what God's saying to you. Sometimes I'm not exactly sure what he's saying to me. I know one thing, it's a new time. This ain't the place I grew up in. It ain't there anymore. I think it's a great time to put your mind on Jesus and ask him to give you his thoughts. Because he knows, I said he knows, but we don't know. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for those that have gone before us, paid the price, lived hard without so much that we have. We don't even know. But we thank you. Those that died so we can have freedom. Be here in the church today without worrying about the soldiers coming. Thank you, Lord. We owe so many people so much that we don't even know, never will know this side of heaven. Thank you for this place, for this church, those that have kept it going and made it a place to be and have family. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for those that gave us the Bible, the Word, over centuries that didn't know each other and got all bound up in history with the gospel and truth and changed so many lives. Thank you, Father. And here we have this. And we can't live back there. We've got to take it somewhere. God help us not to drop the ball. Help us not to be stupid. Help us, Lord God, not to forsake what is so valuable and what has saved our lives. Help us, Father. We need you. Help us not to just be church, just to do the same thing. Help us to be the body of Christ, doing what he did. Help us, Lord, to change how we think about each other, about the world we live in. Help us, Lord, to have a mind that gets hold of what the Holy Spirit is saying that may be different than what everybody else is thinking. Give us courage. Give us a love for people that don't look lovely. Help us, Lord. In the name of Jesus, amen. Well, I think there's probably some of you that say, I need prayer in a particular area. It could be anything, but the Lord said something to you. Would you stand up right now? I'd like to pray for you. You say, God talked to me about an area, and I need prayer. Just stand up. You don't have to come forward. Just stand up if you would. Anybody else? God said something to me. You know, God didn't say much, apparently, because everybody's frozen. I found out when people move, God moves. When people don't move, God don't move. Anybody else, you say, God said something to me. I felt convicted in an area. I want you to pray for me. Just stand. Anybody else? I don't want you to stand because I said to, but if you're here, I believe God will answer the prayer. That's why I don't do this very often. All right. Now, all of you who are sitting and standing, I want you to join me to pray for those that are standing. Because we want God to do something. Lord, I don't know specifically what the Holy Spirit has said to different ones. Maybe it's a physical thing. Maybe it's a way of thinking about something. Maybe it's a situation. I don't know. But you know. And everybody stood because they know you know. And you said stand. So Father, I pray right now in Jesus' name that you'll touch that area. And I've got mine too, Lord. You know our hearts. You know where our struggles are. You know what we're dealing with. You know our burden. I ask you, in Jesus' name, Holy Spirit, go to that area right now. Touch it so that you might be glorified. And Father, help us to desire the mind of Christ. In his name, amen. You may be seated.